In the first seven chapters of the letter to the Hebrews, the main thought is the superiority of Christ. In chapter 1, the first three verses, it was his superiority to the prophets. In chapter 1, verse 4 through chapter 2, it was his superiority to the angels. And then in chapter 3, it was his superiority to Moses. And then in chapter 5, and again in the first part of chapter 7, it was his superiority to Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. Now, in showing the superiority of Jesus' priesthood, the author has done so by doing a step-by-step informational analysis, if you will. He told us in chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, that Jesus is qualified to be a priest by virtue of his calling by God and his suffering. Then in that same chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, he says that Jesus had been called to be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Then we jump over to chapter 7 in the first 10 verses, and we see that the priestly order of Melchizedek is shown to be superior by comparing Abraham to Melchizedek. And then we noticed last week in verses 11 through 19 of chapter 7 that Christ has become such a high priest that it has several implications. The Levitical priesthood could not make one perfect before God. The law upon which the Levitical priesthood was based has been annulled or done away with, and now Christ provides a better hope through which we can draw near to God. And this brings us to chapter 7, verses 20 through 28, in which we find, if you will, a climactic comparison, where Jesus is contrasted with those who served in the Levitical priesthood, and where clearly it is demonstrated that Jesus' priesthood is superior to the priesthood of the Levites. So in this passage, we find at least 4 points showing Jesus' superiority, the first of which pertains to his divine appointment. We see that in the first three verses of this chapter, verses 20 through 22. The Levitical priests were appointed by a command. Beginning with Aaron, he and his descendants all served in the Levitical priesthood. Now, it was a divine command that was appointed to them that they would serve in this capacity. Go back to Exodus 28, verses 1 through 4. And while it was divinely commanded, it was not with an oath. You see, Jesus was made a priest with an oath. Again, we reference Psalm 110 in verse 4, in which God swore an oath concerning the coming Messiah and his priesthood. And we saw earlier that a promise joined with an oath really confirms the immutability or the unchangeableness of God's counsel. We noticed that in chapter 6 and verse 17. So appointed by an oath was not just a command. Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. The surety means the guarantor. And appointed by such an oath from God, Jesus guarantees the new covenant, that it is better. There's that key word again, better. So we also see the superiority of the priesthood of Christ being illustrated by his eternal intercession. We pick up in verse 23 through verse 25, and we see that the Levitical priests were limited in service by death. They were human. They were frail creatures. And when one died, another one would take his place. Now, of necessity, there had to be many priests. But you see, Jesus is different. He lives forever to make intercession for us. And that is because he continues forever. In chapter 7, in verse 16, we noticed that Jesus came according to the power of an endless life. And he, therefore, has an unchangeable priesthood. And he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. And we can do what the law could not. He can do what the law could not do. And that's make one perfect, Hebrews 7 and verse 19. And that is, what he does is make one holy and blameless. Paul would write to the church at Colossae in chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22 and say, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, that is Christ, has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." The Hebrew writer tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for them. I've always been impressed by this phrase. He ever lives to make intercession for them or for us. So it suggests what Jesus is doing for us right now and is most willing to do. Now, as we continue in our text, we see another contrast with the Levitical priest. In verses 26 and 27, we see his perfect character. The Levitical priests were sinners, some more so than others. Even the best of them had to offer up sacrifices even for themselves on a daily basis, because his own sins had to be taken care of before offering sacrifices for others. Jesus is separate from sinners. We see in him as our high priest described in regards to his holy character. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He is in a preeminent position. He's higher than the heavens, and so he does not need to offer sacrifices for himself in that he has not sinned. And this makes him a high priest that is fitting or becoming or seemly for us. You add to his perfect character another element that shows his superior priesthood. We continue there in verse 27 about his permanent sacrifice. You see, the Levitical priests sacrificed daily. Every day they offered sacrifices for their own sins as well as for the people around them. That they had to be continually offered implies a fundamental weakness in the efficacy of the sacrifices themselves. Later we learn that the problem was the inability of animal sacrifices to make one perfect and to cleanse the conscience sins. We're going to notice that in Hebrews 9 in verse 9 and Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 4. Jesus offered himself once for all. That's what our text tells us. This implies the superiority, if you will, of his sacrifice. The superiority of Jesus' sacrifice, we're going to explain that a little bit further a little bit later on in, when we get to chapters 9 and 10. But in verse 8, we find a summary statement that contrasts the two priesthoods, that is, the priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of the Levites. Here in verse 28, we read, "For the law appoints as high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath," referring back to Psalm 110, which came after the law, "appoints the Son who has been perfected forever." The law upon which the Levitical priesthood derives its authority appoints men who have weaknesses. For example, they are sinners themselves, and they suffer death that terminates their service. Their sacrifices cannot truly remove sin, so they had to be repeated daily as well as yearly. Now, the oath given after the law and the basis for the priesthood of Christ appoints the Son of Man who has been perfected forever. For example, we notice his humanity and the obedience that he learned through suffering, that it makes him most fitting to be our high priest. We notice that in chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. We notice that in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We notice that in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. His sinlessness makes the sacrifice of himself the perfect and all-sufficient sacrifice given once and for all. Hebrews 10, verses 12 through 14. Now, in chapters 9 and 10, the focus of this letter is going to center on the superiority of Christ's sacrifice. But for now, let's focus our attention on what has been illustrated so far about what a great high priest we have. His appointment by an oath from God was not just a command. His eternal intercession was not limited by death. He lives forever in above the heavens, as the text tells us. His perfect character, he had an untainted character. It was not tainted by sin. His permanent sacrifice. His sacrifice does not have to be offered daily or yearly. His sacrifice of himself was offered once for all mankind. Now let me ask you this. Wouldn't you want to have such a high priest interceding on your behalf? As Christians, the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 4 and verse 16 that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let's not forget that he ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God through him. He is our perfect high priest. He is our perfect sacrifice. There's not another sacrifice coming. And we need to live our lives in appreciation of his sacrifice, acknowledging the perfection that he offered in his sacrifice. Now I realize you may not like this lesson. You may not agree with it. Or it may be that you agree 100% with it, but you'd still like to comment on it. You can do that. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go back to the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. Look under the heading there for sermons, and you can find this radio program, The Superiority of Christ, His Priesthood, and you can listen to other sermons there. You can go back in the history of the radio program and find other radio programs there and listen to them as well. Or you could join us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ. We're at 1803 Madison Street across from Hillcrest Funeral Home, right on the corner of Madison Street and Stanley Boulevard. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study. We're in the Gospel of John. We'll have worship service at 10 a.m. and then we will have another period of worship service at 5 p.m. this evening. And we also have a midweek Bible study Wednesdays at 7 p.m. where we're in the book of Judges right now. We would love to have you visit with us. It may be that you don't want to email me any questions or comments. You'd rather do that in person. Feel free to join us at the church, and we can sit down and have a little discussion about any of the radio programs or anything else that you may disagree with me or the Church of Christ on. Again, I would love to have you visit with us, and thank you for being with me today.